This Advent Christmas season, we've been considering a sermon series entitled The Real Gifts of Christmas Are Not Found Underneath a Tree. And we've considered over the past weeks gifts such as hope and peace, joy and love. Let us pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this Christmas Eve prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. For me, the maxim for the Christmas season, a mantra, a basic philosophy, is it's better to give than receive. I bet most of us, particularly as you continue to age, we may never have articulated it this way, but most of us are guided by that same principle during this month of December. It's better to give than it is to receive. Now, someone might say, well, Doug, you're painting with a pretty broad stroke. You think most adults live with that mantra? Well, I assert this because of what I've witnessed here. I've watched this congregation over these shortened days of December do what this church does every Advent Christmas season. I've watched as a bare Christmas tree has filled up with beautiful ornaments, colorful ornaments, and those ornaments, they're mittens and they're hats for kids in our community. Many of us, we live by the mantra at Christmas, it's better to give than receive. I've watched as the refrigerator in the church basement, it has filling up time and time again with hams that will be served tomorrow to homeless persons in our community. Better to give than receive. Almost tripped over those bags. You might trip on them too. Be careful on your way out in the lobby. Bags filled with hygiene items for families in need in our community. And as I have looked at my social media feed most days, I see many in this family of faith giving themselves in such creative ways, singing in nursing homes, singing carols, and baking cookies for homebound members, the ways of giving, they go on and on. Most of us live by the mantra at Christmas, it's better to give than receive. Not only does that guide spark my reaching toward neighbors, particularly the one in need, but to be honest with you, when you live by this mantra, it's better to give than receive, it brings with it a level of sophistication. So, for example, with those who are closest to me, my family members, I tell them, please, I'm happy to give you gifts. I don't need gifts. I don't want gifts. I'm 48 years old. If I need something, I grab my keys, I get in my car, and I go to the store. Please, no gifts. It's better to give than it is to receive. Now, most of my family, they will hear that advice. Most of my family. My mother, every year after Thanksgiving, asks, honey, what would you like for Christmas? Mom, you're retired. You're on a fixed income. Focus on your grandsons. I don't need anything. Please, with sugar on top. Please, no gifts this year. But if I were a betting man, sometime over these 12 days of Christmas, underneath a Christmas tree is going to be a package with my name on it. What will be in it? It will be socks and underwear that I need not, because my mother will heed not that message. Please, I don't need anything. It's better to give than receive. Matter of fact, when you think about it, this mantra is really the perfect philosophy for those who are well-heeled, well-connected, educated, affluent, upwardly mobile. It's better to give than receive. And because so many of us tonight make that our mantra for Christmas, that's why we're so close, too close to missing God this Christmas. You see, in contrast to the sophisticated, the first tellers of the Christmas story, the writers of the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, they see this issue completely differently. Their Christmas maxim is so different than the one that most of us hold on to at this hour. The tellers of the Christmas story, their Christmas maxim, is so much different. It's this. Open your heart. Open your heart and simply receive. Open your heart and simply receive. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the heart of the Christian faith is all about. Rabbi Michael Goldberg, in his book, Jews and Christians, Getting Our Story Straight, says that he as a Jew is so impressed by reading Matthew's account of the Nativity. What impresses him is the passivity of the actors in Matthew's Christmas account. In contrast to his base salvific story, which is the Exodus story. That's the story that he gives ear to. In that story, when God intends to do something great, God has to enlist characters like Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And that story is tense because God has to prod, God has to cajole, God even has to bargain in the end to get what God wants. But Goldberg contends, in contrast with the story of Jesus' birth, what God wants to do for us is so out of the box, so strange, so supernatural, that the story clearly communicates what God intends to do for human beings is truly beyond human striving. The Nativity account, its inception, its execution, and its end, it is all God. Maybe that's why this story is so spectacularly supernatural. It contains flying and singing angels, a guiding star, a virgin giving birth, all of it intended to communicate that our God is the giver. And God wants to give us that which we cannot achieve on our own, no matter how hard, no matter how hard we strive. God intends to give the gift. Now the question is, what is the gift? Or better asked, who is the gift? And that, of course, is Bethlehem's child, the Christ child, Son of God, Son of Man. That's the child. That's the gift that God intends to give to save the entire world. And when we open our hearts, and when we simply receive the gift that God wants to give with this child, he embodies all that our hearts long for. When we open our heart to Bethlehem's child, we receive a hope. A hope that says, with God, tomorrow will be better than today. When we receive this child born from heaven, we receive a gift of peace. He bears peace and grants peace that transcends all human understanding. When we are willing to humble ourselves and acknowledge there are some things we cannot accomplish for ourselves, and when we receive this child born of Mary and born of the Spirit, we receive one who intends to multiply our joy. Joy no matter how dark our night, for with Christ, joy comes with the morning. And when we open our hearts to this child, this God who breaks into human history in a way that is so spectacularly supernatural, when we allow this child to embrace us, he embraces us with a love that marks us, eternally reconciled to our Creator, no matter our failures or foibles. The true maxim of Christmas is that it is time for us to simply receive. So in a moment, by song and candlelight, we'll have the opportunity to receive the gift that God so dearly wants to give all of us. And when we receive that gift, I want you to remember back to Christmases of yesteryear. Do you remember when you were a child? Do you remember what it was like to receive gifts, how excited you were? Every child knows the true maxim of Christmas. Christmas is about receiving. with that Spirit. Open your hearts. Open your life to that gift given by the one who births stars. God gives us the Christ, and with Christ comes all that our hearts long for. Hope that endures, joy that is multiplied, peace which reconciles all that is ruptured, and love, eternal love that marks us as God's own now and forever. Merry Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.